Erin. Welcome to RetroNex Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Erin Nicholas. I have been writing romance for, it feels like forever. I was first published in the very end of 2009, so I say 2010. So it's been a really long time. I think it's over 70 books. It might even be 80. I don't know. People ask, and I haven't counted in a long time, so it's a lot. I love everything about it. I love everything I do. So yeah, I've been doing this for a long time.
You have been doing this for 16 years or 15 years.
Yeah.
2009, 16 years, because we're in November 2000.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the very first November 2009. Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's a long time. So you probably have seen the shifts, the trends and stuff, because we had, you were in the early waves of self-publishing, the Kindle, and then 2016 new adult specific world, and then Kindle Limited, and then the 2020 phase.
Actually, I jokingly tell people, I mean, like, before Kindle, like, I was publishing with a small press called Sandy. Yeah. They were around for a long time, but before Kindle was a thing. So we used to have to explain to readers how to get their ebooks onto their computers. So that was, the dark ages.
Oh my gosh, that's why I'm writing. Like, how did you get started? Because obviously, this is not as simple as I decide to write a book. I go the trad prompt, get an agent, do the, which I've heard multiple threads in this podcast, but also the self-publishing, which there's a lot of information how to do it, like how to get started. Fairly easy process. It wasn't easy, but there's a lot of information available to make it. But in that, there probably wasn't. The internet was, there was not even social media. It's barely social media.
And back when I started, so self-publishing wasn't really a thing when I got published. I published with a small press. And so had that worked. So I've always wanted to be a writer. Like, honestly, since I was a little girl, my parents were readers and rewarded us for good grades with books, and books, trips to the bookstore was a thing. And so I was lucky. I grew up in a reading household. And so books were always a thing. Always wanted to be a writer. My parents still tease me about writing longhand in a notebook on our family vacations. And my dad's favorite story is that he took us to Yellowstone to see all the gorgeous scenery. And I didn't see any of it because I was scribbling in my notebook instead. And he'd be like, hello. Look at the geysers. They all look the same. So I've always been writing. I've always wanted to be a writer. I wrote angsty poetry as a teenager and wrote short stories. And I'll never forget, though, in college, I took a creative writing class and my professor said, you should really try to get published. And that was like, oh my God. So kind of started working on a novel. Of course, it was a romance. I read romance as a teenager. My mom introduced me to Joanna Lindsay and Julie Garwood and all of that. But then took time off to go to grad school because I'm a physical therapist as well. And grad school was grueling. And so there was no time. And then graduated from grad school with enormous debt.
Yeah.
And said, I'll just write a book and pay that off. That seems easy. And of course, that's not how it works, everybody. But anyway, that was my motivation. Finished that and started querying, like you do, to agents and trad publishing. And that was the thing. And a friend of mine, Lucy Monroe, who is a published author with Harlequin, many books, she was a critique partner of mine through the Romance Writers of America, was kind of a mentor. And so she had been published with Sam Hain as well, mentioned me to her editor. Long story short, her editor read one of my books, and that's how that all happened. So I was actually published with a publisher first. And then 2014, self-publishing is exploding. I actually was a little late to it, honestly. Yeah. And an author friend said, you need to do this. And so I said, okay. So I was still publishing with Sam Hain, but I had another book idea that I self-published, and then that all took off. So I was doing both. I've also been published traditionally with New York and with Montlake, with Amazon. So I've done it all. it's been a long time, but I've gotten to do a lot of things. And I feel like my bucket list has lots of nice check marks on it. So I'm very lucky.
That's amazing. I think it's like you've been able to see the evolution from the 2012 sprint, 50 Shades open up the windows for everything to see the explosion that it has grown over time. Like,
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And it's amazing to see like the industry has shifted. Yes, 2020 brought
for sure
mainstream, especially reading romance mainstream, and it's made, you know, it's making it like a place where people are not ashamed of doing reading.
Yeah.
And let alone reading romance. Like, it's not.
For sure. You know. And I think social media has done that, right? People get on and talk about it openly. And then Barnes & Noble puts out huge tables. And it's all become a lot more.
Selling books again. Because they were not selling books. They were selling
absolutely. It is a roller coaster. And I guess I tell people, that's what people are like, what advice do you have? And it's just like, if you're not a person who's good with change and who's good with pivoting and having other people like, cause chaos in your life, this isn't the job for you, because self-publishing, you have so much control, but still there's so many forces always at work. So
the forces, it's just like basically you're shifting, like writing audio is the funny thing, and like even you know, you have to write for audio, which is a whole different ball game for a reader who's going to read physically or reading for a Kindle,
for sure.
like how you think about like the formats and how it's consumed and how it's actually shared. And then also have a thick skin because reviews are for readers, but readers feel like invade author spaces too and have an opinion, critique. And it's like, what am I doing?
the thick skin thing is real for sure. Audio is fascinating, right? Because audio rose so quickly. And now there's all this too, where it started off, like when my first books were put in audio, just a single narrator, just a nice voice reading you a book. Now it's like dual and duet and full cast and all this stuff. It's just, it's amazing.
And the voice acting and the narrators are just as important as the actual.
For sure. Yeah. I'm an audio girly. I love audio.
Me too. I did not think I was going to be an audio girly until I was like, holy crap, like I can listen to this. And for me, what's been great has been I listen at night before going to bed. So I usually listen to cozy mysteries because nothing happens. And most part, like there, that's the whole point. And essentially it's like reparenting my inner child, like actually having bedtime stories. So it's associate audio as falling asleep.
That's like true.
In an easy way. And
for sure. Yeah. I love that though. I love that. And I love that whole, you don't have to worry. Right. Like you can go to sleep with this story because you don't have to worry. And that's valuable.
Yeah. So, yes. Erin, let's do a Merry Mayhem, which is your Christmas novella / a little bit longer than novella, but not quite too long.
Yes.
No, it's a happy medium.
It is. It's a long novella, short novel. Yeah. It's like right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So we're sad in a town where there's fake dating, where there's mayhem.
Yep.
Hijinks. There's the typical Christmas stuff, but there's hijinks happening, and it's just me.
Yeah, I told somebody that it's as if the movie While You Were Sleeping met American Ninja Warrior. So you have While You Were Sleeping and that family and all the craziness, and it's definitely Christmas, but then you have this huge contest. This town has a contest called Merry Mayhem. And it goes over 3 days, and it's multiple events that people participate in. And so there's an obstacle course and a relay race and cookie decorating and all of this stuff. And so our hero and heroine are matched up as teammates for this Merry Mayhem. And so,
I know, it's just mayhem.
Mayhem. It lives up to its name for sure. Yes. So forced proximity with Christmas cookies.
What more can you ask for?
Right.
Perhaps some of the writing process during writing this, I'm assuming off season, not holiday season. This probably place maybe in the summer when it was near.
If I was better planner, it would have. This happened actually in September. So this was a very, I think I'm going to write a Christmas book. So it wasn't quite as off season as I have before. I have written Christmas books in July. But, you know, if you turn on Christmas music and get a really good peppermint mocha going, you can do it. If you put your headphones on and that Christmas music, if Mariah Carey is in your head, you can write Christmas in September.
Yeah. So what's your favorite thing about writing Christmas? You read multiple books in this.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Is it like the traditions? Is it the Scrooge-ness? Is it like the idea of I hate Christmas and here's all the things that are wrong to fall in love with it? Or
I write predominantly small town. I have a few that aren't, but almost my entire catalog is small town. And I'm from small towns. I've spent my whole life in small towns. And I would tell you, I think that small towns are at their best at Christmas. Yes. Right. Everything is glittery and pretty and people are happy and generous and smiling all the time. And so I think it's that. I think it's that, just that spirit. And
yeah,
things that happen at Christmas just can't happen other times of the year, right? You can't hang a plant above a doorway and expect people to kiss any other time of year. That's creepy any other time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. What can you ask for? You have a Christmas tree in the middle of your house. It's like,
right. Yeah. You put up a tree and put lights on it. People would think you were weird if it was like May.
Yes. Oh, no, we can do a summer holiday Christmas.
Let's normalize trees with lights in our living rooms.
Yes. Or trees. Or light, or pretty lights, or lights outside of the space.
I agree. I agree. The people who decorate for every holiday, like just go all out and like their porches are decorated every single. I actually really admire that because I don't have the energy for that. But I enjoy it as an observer. Like, I'll drive by your house and smile every single time. So thank you to all of you who do all that all the time.
Yes, I love the idea of decorating. It's something I'm like, oh, it's actually work. Like,
it's a lot of work. And it's the taking down, too. Yeah. That was my thing. Like, I'm putting up.
Putting it up and then trying down. To figure out and making sure that it makes sense the next year. Because you want to, like, buy new things and everything.
I know. I tell people, so I married a Grinch. So my Christmas decorating is like poking him, that which is the fun. So taking it down isn't as fun. The putting up is fun because that drives him crazy.
There we go.
And after 30 years together, there has to be something.
There has to be something. You run a smell, you smell a little.
I can't let him get complacent. I can't let him get too comfortable. I add to the Christmas stuff every year and just watch him roll his eyes and
So for listeners who are picking up your book, Mary Mayhem, for the first time, and they want to go back to your backlist, where do you recommend to get started?
So Mary Mayhem is the first book in a new series, which is kind of fun for me. So it's like a kickoff. So if you want to get to know my new series, this is a great place to start. Okay. It starts us in a new town that is going to kick off a series that then the next book comes in January. But it is in a world. So I have built this world on the Louisiana Bayou, and I have multiple series set there. And I would say this book is probably the most close in like tone to a series called Boys of the Bayou Gone Wild.
Okay.
And in that series, it's 8 books. It's 7 books and an actual novella. But in that book, in that series, this group of people, they start off with just a little petting zoo, and it slowly grows into this huge animal park over time. And so you're in Louisiana and you end up with penguins and giraffes. And I'm not even joking, like real live penguins and giraffes. And you'll have to read to see how that works out. It actually does. But this group of people, these friends and brothers and cousins and the women they fall in love with, slowly bring animals to the bayou, and they have a petting zoo that turns into an animal park. And so that, if that sounds crazy and over the top, it is. It's a funny hijinks type of series. And I would say it's probably the most close in like tone to what this new series is going to be.
Well, I'm excited to go back and read the series. I'm like, penguins in the bayou? What is happening here?
I mean, yeah. If that sounds crazy, it is. It is. And the way that happens, the way those penguins get there is a little crazy, but it's fun. So fun.
All right, so let's talk some book recommendations. Books you read, like what type of genre do you go for?
Yeah, I read what I write. I believe in escapism. I love to just sit down and get lost in a story, and that's what I want to give to my readers. And so I read crazy rom-coms. And some of my favorite authors are Pippa Grant, Megan Quinn, Tessa Bailey, Kate Canterbury, Helena Hunting. So all of those ladies I would recommend. So the most recently, I just finished actually In a Rush by Kate Canterbury, which is one of her Friendship Rhode Island books. But my favorite Kate Canterbury, and this is the one I tell everybody, is called Shucked.
And yes.
Have you read it?
Yes, I read it.
And here's what I love about that book. It encapsulates what I love to write. It is fish out of water, right? You take this millionaire guy and you stick him in a small town that is over the top, and the entire book, he's what the hell is going on? That is my favorite thing. And then he becomes like protective and falls in love with everybody in spite of himself, right? That is my favorite thing. So Shucked by Kate Canterbury. Also, pretty much anything Pippa Grant, I would say. I especially like her hockey series, though. Like, old Pippa Grant is always good. The Copperbelly Thrusters, all of those guys are great. And then Helena Hunting's new hockey series, I'm loving that. I'm reading all of those as they come out. And then I read Tessa Bailey's Fangirl Down. Have you read that one?
Yes, I have. It's is it the one with Cole Pond? Is she Freddy? It's so good.
It's so good. I think it's so fresh, right? First of all, like if you told me golf hot hero, I would be like, no, sorry. But yeah. And my favorite part of that, again, is this guy constantly going, why do I feel this way? How am I falling in love with this crazy woman who's turning my life upside down? But that is my favorite. That is my favorite thing to do to heroes and stuff. That's what
I love. You just made me, I'm like, no, I need to read more of those. Like, why am I falling in love with you? Good unique beat, because it's like complete opposite. And it's not as a track. It's just, a questioning. You don't make sense, but yet I won you.
And like, they realize it. That's my favorite thing, is when they realize I am falling in love with you and this makes zero sense. Like, you are going to make my life so hard.
Yeah.
But I cannot resist you. And I'm going to just, okay, fine. Turn my life upside down. Fine. It's my favorite thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That series is actually pretty good. I like Dream Girl drama. I like the stepsister, stepbrother.
I haven't read that one yet. Okay.
A little forbidden, but it worked for me. No. It's not too forbidden. It's just like, they're not supposed to be together.
Right.
Not a fun one. I really enjoyed that one. I read it in one sitting. I was like, oh, okay. Oh,
perfect. I'm writing that down then. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think that if you're, and I think Pippa and Tessa both do this really well.
Yeah.
Kate too. I think if you're going to go over the top, you just have to go. You just have to lean in. And they both do that really well. So
yeah,
if
you read by Brian, so I actually, you just point out like, no, I need to prioritize Pippa.
Yeah. I do. You just have to know though, going in, that's what it's going to be. And so if you're not, like, I think sometimes you have to be in the mood for that. I get it. I totally get it. But if you're in the mood for that, those girls will deliver every time.
Yeah. And Helena Hunting, I think Puff series is still top notch. Mm. Like, such an interesting
character. Yeah.
She's the most. So
I know. I think it's so great with Helena. You can tell how much she loves.
Yeah.
The hockey and the people she's writing about, like, she just really loves her characters and her stories. I just feel like you can just feel that. Yes. So, yeah.
Do you have, I know you share some recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend or?
Those are always the ones. If people are like, what should I read? That's kind of like yours, but something different. Those are the ones. So, and then I'm like, well, if you've already read those, then I think just go into those girls' backlist. Those are the ones. Yeah.
Perfect. I appreciate.
Well, and Melanie Moreland, if you haven't read, like, My Favorite Kidnapper.
No. What is it?
Oh, my God. Okay. So it's so hard to explain. So this billionaire kidnaps this baker because he wants her to make him cakes. Like, he falls in love with her cakes. And this dude, I have never read a more over-the-top hero. I actually texted one of my readers who's a huge Melanie Moreland fan, and I was like, oh my God. So this guy is
brilliant,
like,
idea.
So
like,
much.
You know, I want the baker.
Well, and they totally don't get along when they first meet. So she's not going to just agree to work for me. So I have to kidnap her.
Yeah.
So takes her to Italy and like his villa. And like, it's, and so she agrees to it. She's not really under duress, but it's so over the top. I mean, if you like that kind of like rom-com humor, it's great. It's so
great. Oh my God. I appreciate your recommendations because I'm like a rom-com reader and I'm like, oh no, I need to go back to it. So you something getting reading TBR
on. For sure. Yeah. That's about all I read. Once in a while people will recommend A Dark Mafia to me and I'm like, okay, I'll try. And I get to about page 20 and I'm like, I'm just not the right reader for this. And that's okay.
You know, you totally should try. Cat Richards had some mafia rom-com.
Okay. Yeah. Now,
it's Love Most Fatal. She is the Don. She's like the head of the mafia. And the love interest is a teacher that she went on a blind date. And then
She's the mafia?
She is the mafia.
Oh, I like that a lot.
It turns every upside down. And he's a teacher. He's fine. And he realizes, what the fuck are we doing? They're almost going to kill him. So she has to protect him. She puts
My God. Yeah, I'm reading that. I'm going to read that.
It's over the top. And then he has to for her because she needs to marry off. And he's the one who was actually interviewing the mafiosos.
I am all over it. Yeah. My editor, she said that. She goes, I feel like, she goes, so not mafia for you. I go, well, I mean, I could make like the a mafia. He accidentally ends up in this bayou town trying to hide out. And they're all like, hey, I know your grandma. Blah, blah, blah. This is how my town is. Everybody's in his business. And she's, oh, now I'm going to want you to write that. And so mine would be like ridiculous.
I feel like there's a need in the mafia rom-com space. It's working. It worked for me. I have people recommend it. Like, it's quirky. And we have serial killer rom-coms.
It's so true.
But can we just look at rom-coms?
Like, you've got a point. That is what I do love about the current market is just like anything does, right? Like, you write it and there's going to be readers for it because we're all so different and we're all willing. I feel like people are a lot more willing to give new things a try now, don't you? I feel like maybe the pandemic did that to us. I don't know.
You know, like, honestly, like the stuff that we know that's so mainstream, right? Where I choose is a big one.
Yep.
Monsters, any type of monsters, shapeshifters, like dwarf romance.
That's a good point.
And the Thanksgiving food shifter.
Yeah.
That you just fall in love with the pillow. Like, that kind of obscure product and it still works.
That's a good point. There's an audience for everything.
There is an audience for everyone. I joke around. I'm a monitor for one author and she does shorts and she wanted to do like this. I was like, let's do Park Rangers. And she has a cool Park Rangers series.
Park Rangers are hot.
That there's a whole interest in Park Rangers.
I have a couple Park Rangers, like a Department of Natural Resources, right?
Yes, yeah, like, I have a couple. Like you niche it down and people are like,
love it. They're so rugged. You know what I mean? Like they're law enforcement, but not like.
No, they're like rugged. They're like they're like
wild animals and.
Yeah. Like, outdoor.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome. All right. Erin, tell us where you can find online.
ErinNicholas.com is my website. I'm also very active on Facebook. I have a super fan group, Erin Nicholas Super Fans on Facebook that I'm in every single day. Lovely group of readers. I love them very much. And also have a author Facebook page. And I'm on Instagram, Erin Nicholas Books.
Awesome. Thank you, Erin, for being in the show.
Yeah, thank you. This is so great.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.